How could the devil have messed it up so bad? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of He Likes.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Steve, for coming in. I appreciate your doing this each Friday.
Good to be here. You look great.
That's because a lesser man would be dead. Pete Allinson is my pastor. He comes in on Fridays to join me as we answer some of the thousands of questions we get from you guys. And we love getting your questions, and you always get an answer from me or staff person or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And the only dumb one is the one you don't ask. However, you can't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can make a contribution. You can get the magazine free. You can get tapes or CDs free. You can get the catalog free. You can get the booklets free. But you got to ask your question. And you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. And this is a new Canadian address for our many Canadian listeners. It's Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. You can email us at steve@keylife.org. And if you're listening from jail or prison, don't forget about our Crossroads Bible Institute program. You're going to love it. You can let us know, and we'll get out the material to you. It's free, and it's dynamite stuff. And if you're not in jail and you're not in prison, forget it. It's not for you. And we'll know. Okay. Pete, would you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to these questions.
All right. Father, we do bow in your presence today, and it is so good to pray. We're thankful that we don't have to be kneeling in one particular way, or there's no particular form. You take us as we are. We come into your presence today. Lord, for some of us, it's been a great week. For some, it's been challenged so bad that we're confused and frustrated. And so we look to you, Lord. Be in our hearts the one that calms us down and encourages us. And direct us to you because of your grace and mercy and power. And Lord, we do look forward to meeting with your people this weekend to worship, and we need that, and you delight in it. And we pray that you would prepare our leaders, our pastors and priests, be with our pastoral families as well, Lord, as they are kind of on the front lines of ministry. And Lord, we just pray that you encourage them and use them, but be with our leaders that they could tell us the truth and tell it straight, but tell us kindly and with your love, and may we respond. May we give you praise and honor. Father, we pray for Key Life in this ministry. Be with Steve. Use him as you have in a powerful way. And we pray that many, many would come to know you and your graciousness and your warmth and your power and who you are through this ministry. We commit our time to you now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
See, when you were praying for pastors, I just want to mention our group pastors conference. Somebody said, Steve, could you be serious about it? You make it sound so superficial, and it's just not. No, it's not. This is a very serious conference.
It is.
But we're going to laugh a lot.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell all of the lay people it's very serious.
You've got another name for it.
Yeah, ecclesiastical and existential renewal in the context of postmodernism.
I like that.
But it's really a poop pastor's conference. And listen, you ought to make sure your pastor comes to this. Trust me on this. We've got a wonderful deal on the hotels. The conference isn't that expensive. We're just covering expenses. It's in Orlando. It's January 23rd through the 25th. Do mark that down. And if you're a pastor, we'd love to have you. I think this can be a life-changing experience where we're freed up to serve Christ with tremendous power.
So, you've always had a ministry to pastor.
Yeah, I love
ever
that.
Since I've known you, and now since you're not doing that every day, you have a different perspective.
Well, that's true. But I did it. I've got the little
man. You do.
And so if you were a pastor or you love your pastor, you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE or check our website, that's keylife.org, and check it out. We better get to these.
All right.
We said we'd say more about this because we kind of blew it off last week. It's from Oregon, I think. God created the angels to serve him, so how did Lucifer know evil to turn on Christ?
Isn't that one of the biggest questions of theology?
Yeah, it really is.
And can you think of one passage in Scripture that even applies directly to it?
No, I think of the Isaiah passage that, about his pride and how he had fallen. They're actually talking about a king, and then it switches over, and you realize, whoa, this is talking about something else.
Yeah, that's true.
But I really, you can remember Jesus say that he had seen Satan fall, which is interesting about his own omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence, because that happened a long time before in time the incarnation took place. I'll tell you, there are explainable reasons for it, but they don't explain it. You know, he wanted to take God's place. Sometimes I do. He looked at all the power and he said, I want some of that. Sometimes I do. He thought, I can do this better than God. Sometimes I think that. I can understand from a human standpoint where he'd come from, but the problem was he lived in perfect life. Where did the evil come from?
That's right. You know, what it does illustrate is that God made Satan, Lucifer, with the capacity to fall, just as he made man with the capacity to fall.
Exactly.
But how, being in the very presence of the omnipotent God, could he have ever thought he could have gotten away with it?
Oh, yeah.
And been successful. And I think that what that shows is the deceitfulness of sin at that level.
Absolutely. And also the sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
You know, the openness people, those who are into openness theism, would say, well, it was a surprise to God. He went, whoa, I trusted you, Lucifer, would you do this to me? But those who look at the Bible and listen to it clearly know that even that was a part of a way that God would honor and glorify himself and bring his people to himself. And so it's all a part of the plan of redemption that's built into the universe.
Oh, that's so true. And it's so good. And I appreciate you bringing up the openness people. I mean, we're pretty open at Key Life. And we're, but not that.
Mm-mm.
And
no.
That's redefining biblical
basic
theology.
Stuff.
Basic stuff.
And those are good guys. I'm not throwing rocks at them. Oh, because I did one time before and got some real nasty letters. and I think this relates directly to that issue.
I do think so.
And I just think we don't fool around with God being something less than God. Because I don't want a God with perspiration on his upper lip.
Yeah.
I really don't, man. I got that. He's not supposed to have that.
And that's not the God of the Bible.
No.
That's not how he reveals himself.
Of course not. In fact, I'm going to stop worshiping him if that's true. That's not a God worthy of my worship.
So they're wrong-headed in that direction, but they're good people usually that teach that.
Yeah.
And that's
actually
difficult to
understand. They're asking the right questions. You know, there's been a kind of theological, and I realize this isn't this question, but it leads off to it. There has been a kind of staid orthodoxy that says you can't relate to a God because he doesn't have any emotions. And there's a formal theological word for that. That's nonsense. That's drivel.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that. And John Frame in his book on openness is so wonderful in that. Of course God relates to us in a passionate way. And he's real. And as Martin Buber has said, I vow. I mean, we're not relating to a foreign deist who believe that God started it and said, I don't care. But the openness people are reacting to the kind of theological position that says, can I dance and will God be pleased?
Yeah. You know, and we got to move on. But
people are saying, what are you talking about, man? I don't care about this stuff.
Yeah, but you know, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that it's insidious and they're slipping it in out there. And a lot of people are unaware and how it's coming out in other types of writings.
Oh, I know.
And it's there and you go, whoa, be careful.
Yeah.
So. All right.
But, all right. Let me see. What is apologetics? That's from North Carolina. I think we answered that recently.
Did we? Yeah, well, it comes from the Greek word apologia, which means defense of the faith.
So it doesn't mean apologize.
Doesn't mean to apologize, but it means to defend the faith. That's what apologetics is.
All right. We did foot washing too, didn't we? I'm looking at Eric through the glass wall where he is encased. We keep him in control in that little booth.
Yeah, I had that crossed
out. Anything?
Yeah,
we did that. Well, okay.
And we did apologetics before too.
Does being divorced disqualify someone from being ordained into the ministry? That's from South Carolina.
You know, that is one of the major issues among Christians, because they want to be faithful to Scripture. My conviction is it does not, but I think there must be sufficient time and growth since a divorce for...
I think there's a divorce that you... And I don't believe that Paul's admonishment to Timothy, the husband of one wife, is a monogamous statement. It's not a statement about divorce.
Right. I think it is a monogamous statement, and I think it's, you know, in the Greek, the idea of the one-woman man.
Yeah.
That a man who is not flirtatious, a man that is focused on his wife and family, and is trustworthy, therefore.
I would agree with you, but with you, I wouldn't throw rocks at people that held the other position.
No.
I think we're all trying to be faithful.
Absolutely.
I used to absolutely would not remarry anybody been divorced, would not allow anybody who was divorced to serve in any capacity of leadership in the church. And then I got to thinking, wait. If this grace thing is true, it means that God starts where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that a person who's been through a divorce throws up a red flag, and you got to ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see if there's genuine repentance. You got to make sure that they don't say, well, this didn't work out, so, you know, I got a divorce, but I'm happy now. I found a prettier one or a better looking one.
Well, we know there's always two sides to a divorce. It takes two. It's very, very seldom that it's just the one person that comes.
Oh, I agree.
But sometimes that's true. But has there been growth? You know, has there been a real spiritual development since that time?
And would you as a pastor be willing to send people who are thinking about divorce to that person?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And if you say, I don't think so, man, then I don't think God will be in leadership, because I don't think God likes divorce.
Yeah, he hates it, right? Malachi, he hates it. So, but it is not the unpardonable sin. And I think sometimes in the church we've seen it that way.
You know, I hate it when we start running out of time, but we still have time. Because there's no simple question on this page that that person gave me. I mean, you want to, because of sin, I'm afraid to talk to God. What can I do about my fear? Can you answer that in 10 seconds?
I think it's got father issues involved in that one. Maybe you've got to go back and do some counseling about what your early father life experience.
Listen, next Friday we're going to deal with that question.
Right.
Without being flippant. I wasn't flippant. I was spiritual. You were flippant.
I was, no, I'm serious. I'm trying to work on it. Well, I'll pray for you that you have the right answers next time.
We're out of here. Hey, guys, when you write a call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station where you hear Key Light. And Key Light is a listener-supported production of Key Light Network.